Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We got our episode 3 recap 4, Champs for Stars. You might notice somebody is next to me. You might recognize her from being on this season. She is going to dish everything from this episode as well as her experience on Champs for Stars. We're talking the blue team being a hot mess, Hennessy's departure, and if the lines are really blurring between the champs and the stars. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We got Louise Hazel in the house today.
So pleased that the season is finally being aired. This is gonna be so lit. There's so much to talk about.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you.
Guys, make sure to show Louise love in our live chat. We have such a good fan group that is always with us live as we go through our show. Maybe they can pop in with some questions, anything you wanna hear from Louise about her time on the show. We got Pamela Gross Jill with us.
Hey.
And David DPR, as always. And my name is Jenna Bussier. And welcome in. We're talking episode 3. This is From Rainbows to Storm Clouds. Or as Louise was saying, to Hurricanes. Because we're going to go over Hurricane Henny. We'll talk a little bit about your blue team. Casper looking out for number one. What you got to say about your teammates. We'll get into everything. But overall thoughts, I thought this episode was pretty good because now we see the champs game plan blowing up in their face.
Right.
Because now, you know, they're going against the stars the entire time, even though they're teammates with these people. And now it's kind of coming full circle. Tony gets thrown in. Shane volunteers. Or it could be that they're still in control the whole time. What did you guys think? You just watched the episode as well. Also, how did you think about this episode aired and did it do its due diligence to what really went down?
Pretty much 100% on. You know, obviously we came into that challenge, released the rainbow, and the red team, you know, they've just been on a high. They've been killing it. And, you know, our team is falling to pieces at the seams.
Yes.
And so there was almost like nothing we could do. Once they clipped in that final hook, the damage had been done.
Yeah.
And you can just tell that morale is at an all-time low at this point, and we are really struggling to, rally the troops. We know pound for pound that we've got a more athletic team, a smarter team, but we're just not out there performing.
Yeah. And it seems like that's definitely because of the division in the team playing against itself, which it seemed like overall this episode, the red team was deciding not to do, at least in the competition, whether, you know, it was a total sneak move, which we know it was, with the Shane volunteering.
Oh, God.
You were the only one.
You called that.
Because when we watched them go, oh, that's so nice, I was like, oh, come on. And that was your reaction. I do think, though, CT, who I'm a huge fan of and I think plays the game well and has great leadership, saving Salida did seem like a genuine move. He didn't have to do that since they were throwing Shane in as their red herring, so to speak. But it does seem like as a team, at least in the competitions, they paired up with each other. And it does seem like they're getting that if you want to win, however it goes down in eliminations, you got to play the game as a team.
So are you as a blue team thinking that the red team is actually genuine at this point, that they like each other? You and Casper saw right through Shane's volunteering. You said, this is so obvious. How are they not getting onto it? Why don't you think that the red team star has caught on?
I mean, I'm not believing their BS for a second.
Yeah.
And it's only skin deep. What's really interesting for me is actually watching it back and watching CT play his role. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, to us, and obviously I only see a certain part of that, he is very much, you know, we're a team, it's a red team. I'm like, whatever. And then, so to confirm that with his kind of sniping with Shane behind the scenes is good, feels good.
Okay.
But... you know, I think that obviously Little Mama, she's a skeptic. She, throughout the show, she's kind of been the voice of truth, and I think you'll see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was interesting in this particular episode was how Brooke and Salita almost kind of just converted over to the red team, almost over to the champs team.
Right.
And that was really interesting because I felt like the last show that we had, they were very much keep your eyes, you know, even in this episode, Brooke is saying, Salita is saying about Brooke, keep your eyes open, stay woke.
Right.
But then we see that kind of tables turn where Salita is then nominated and she manages to manipulate that situation. This is why Salita's smart.
Mm-hmm.
She sees an opportunity to manipulate that into a situation that benefits her and her charity.
Yeah.
And say, oh, if we're playing this game, let me get something out of it.
Yeah. Sure.
I was actually shocked that CT did give her the immunity for next week because I didn't truly feel like she did that much manipulating. She was the only one that really said, well, I want to stay. But of course, everybody wants to stay and everybody wants to stay for their charity. But she was just the one that CT took the bait and said, all right, well, she volunteered, but they all would have.
I was a little surprised by that. I definitely was. I mean, there wasn't really much debate or even argument. It seemed like, I don't know, maybe there was.
So she's got this. This is really interesting. I felt like this came up completely organically and in the moment. And it felt like that when you were sat in the room. And so it was like, you know, well, Salita wants it. She wants the immunity. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, if you remember, if we're going back to previous elimination or nominations, those guys, Little Mama and Salita, were out of the room for that.
Right.
So this is the first opportunity she's had a chance to voice her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so she's come with the big card. Oh, we're going to test you. I want that immunity card. Give it to me. Let's see what you guys are really... Let's see what game you guys are really playing and how far you're really willing to push it, because you could give it to Kayla and you could obviously give it to Ashley.
Yeah.
That's true. It's almost like calling the bluff a little bit.
Are you helping advise the red team stars a little bit, having done the competition before? And you're obviously kind of the ringleader on the blue team for the stars.
Thank you. You're
organizing everything. You're kind of running that ship because you've played before and you're saying, hey, we're out nominating them right now or we're even right now, so let's do this.
Right.
Are you helping out the red team stars a little bit or letting them fend for themselves because it's a different team?
I'm doing my best. So the interesting thing here was I came into the show obviously knowing pretty much half of the champs.
Right.
But not knowing any of the stars.
Mm.
And so they were very skeptical about me from the get-go, especially when they realized that this was a political game. And so there was very much a sense of mistrust. And so I had to almost earn and prove their trust. So I can't approach the guys on the red team other than Mama at this stage and say, you know what's going on, right?
Right.
You know, because even I think Brooke and Salita and also Jose to a certain point, but I realize that Jose has a very much a strong mind. And I think
he's very shy. That's interesting you say that, because we don't see a lot from him.
Oh, well, he's going to, we'll have his moment.
There's something coming.
In fact, I was texting with him today and he was like, I'm hardly even on. I'm like, hey, just wait. It's coming.
Right.
I think everybody has their chance to shine in this series. And that's what's, you know, there's still so much to talk about and still so much to come. That's why I'm super excited.
Yeah. Well, we're only on the third episode and already it's like, this one's doing a good job of having enough balance with the challenges, also with the drama, which is good.
Are you guys surprised? Because, like, you know, we hit that drama from the get-go, out the gate,
I have to say, I am actually very surprised, because now this is the third installment of the Champs Versus type of theme shows that the challenge has been doing. And last one was kind of a dud. It was a little boring. We kind of got bored halfway through of the Champs Versus Stars of the last series that they did. So this one, everybody coming in so hot, we even said the first few episodes, you forget that this is for charity. It's supposed to be we're raising money for these charities that we want to so strongly help out, but meanwhile we're cutting each other's throats.
It definitely gets intense. I mean, you can see everybody, I mean, well, obviously it's all with Hennessy, which we'll get to, but I mean, yeah, that's something you do definitely forget it's for charity. You almost got to step back a little bit, like, wait, oh yeah, this is for a good cause. You know,
no one on the show stepping back. At the end of the day,
this is really weird, because, you know, a lot of us, the girls on the show, we're playing for women's charities, yet we are stabbing each other in the back. Like, I'm playing for the Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women.
Okay.
Out here, trying to set a really good example, but I'm not going to lie, next week it's going to get hairy for me. That's going to be questionable, that good example
so
role. That role model role, out the pan.
You can say, you know, girls, do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
There you go. Learn better leadership skills than I'm teaching here.
And Louise had mentioned this before we went live and said, you know, I'm looking good right now, but next week something's about to blow up.
Yeah.
But we were saying, you say everything in such like a nice, pretty, eloquent British accent anyway. I can't see you getting to a point of being overly dramatic or exploding or causing drama.
And like, one thing that Shane said during this episode of his move to put himself into nomination, it was genius, he said.
It was.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
Wait. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
So I tweeted, That wasn't genius. No. That was obvious.
Yes.
Is when you don't expect it.
Yeah.
And so there is a move, and I'm only going to liken it to Limegate next week. This has got to be my suit. And I knew that I kind of had to trump Limegate with, you know, because I know the fans enjoyed it.
Oh,
they
yes.
absolutely love Limegate. And I just thought, you know what? I don't know whether I'm going to be able to top that.
Limegate was
to be organic.
Limegate was perfect, and we mentioned you came in so hot, so unexpected. It was episode one or two, and you already pulled the dirtiest move before the stars or the pros, because it was Chancellor's pros, before the pros even got settled in. So what is it about you that you are always just on top of your game in the social, political sense? Because I would be naive. Sometimes watching the show, when Shane turned back around, he said, okay, let's all get together. Let's actually do it this way. I said, that's so smart. Obviously, but
I'm just,
you just have it.
I'm just super intuitive when it comes to people and it comes to characters. So I grew up in a pub in the UK. Like, we have a small hotel, so I'm used to strangers coming through my door all the time, sometimes a little bit intoxicated. So the challenge is the perfect environment.
Right.
And so I just have a real nose and for people. And I'm like, I call BS and I'll stick to my guns until somebody proves me otherwise. But, you know, I learned the ropes, I think, just from having my smarts about me and just having my wits about me and just, you know, thinking, okay, I know what's going on here. I know what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So better believe everybody else is doing the same thing.
Yeah. So let's talk about this blue team then. First off, you get drafted by Tony.
Yes.
How does it feel to be with Tony on this team? What is his leadership like? Do you have any opinions there?
So first of all, and this was the point at which I realized there's something fishy going on. I was like maybe fifth, sixth pick.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, okay, Tony's picking, you know, the guys are obviously picking their friend. Okay, I get it. Because bearing in mind, I'm an Olympian. I'm not one of the people that have ever really been picked last at any sporting event. So I'm like, what's going on here? Oh, I get it. It's that game. So finally, when I kind of look at the lineup and I'm like, okay, Tony, Wes, obviously I played with before, but never wasn't on the same team. I was like, I'm looking forward to seeing what Wes has up his sleeve. And then we have Casper, we have Henny, who is just a bundle of laughs, seriously a bundle of laughs. And then we have Anissa, who I've not played for, but I've seen in other series, and I really, really respect her. Tori, I was yet to meet, and I'm really looking forward to playing with her. And then Cam as well, who's obviously a strong player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we have Drake, Bell, and Booby.
The way you set that up, sounded like you were going to say something bad. And then we have Drake, Bell, and Booby.
Drake, Bell, oh my God, he gives me life.
Secret weapons. Okay, those are the secret weapons right there.
Okay, maybe you can squash a rumor that we've heard then. We've gone back and forth. We've said this on our show a few times. We've heard some rumors through the internet that he might make an early departure because there's something very dramatic involving him. Is that a complete dud, or should we just stay in our seats and you can't say anything?
I mean, Drake, he's an actor.
Right.
Drama is what he does.
Right.
So I just say stay tuned. Okay. Keep locked in. He will surprise you at every twist and turn. It's as simple as that.
Thus far, he's really surprised me at how good he is at these competitions.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting that from a little musician actor.
Oh, he's
but he does a good job.
Yeah, he's a sleeper. I think people just sleep on him. They don't really think too much about him. And, you know, Drake really emerges. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. A lot of emerging to come in the next few weeks.
He's a key player.
Okay.
He's a key player.
So it didn't take you long, obviously, to catch on to the champs, making this a Champs for Stars thing.
For sure.
We went back and forth. We said that this was such an idiotic way to play the game.
Right.
Do you agree? Or is this is what it is?
Totally. So from the get-go, when they got rid of Arian Foster, and actually, they showed their asses. So they put in Arian and also Casper. And I said to Wes that night, because, you know, and I'm going to, this is probably the first time the stars will hear of this. I thought they were going to vote in Jose because he performed the worst.
Did he?
Because that's the logical.
He didn't finish.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, they're going to hold off on the politicking and they're just going to play it. But no, they went for it. And I said to him, you showed your ass really early.
Yeah.
Well done. That's the only free card you get. And I think at that point, Wes kind of thought, I saw him almost take, you know, a double take. And he was just like, Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Normally, it doesn't matter because, do you know what I mean? But yeah.
Well, I think
it helped us.
You said it even in the drafting, picking, you know, Devin over.
No, Devin. No, they actually remember Devin and Anissa were the two champs. So the champs are saying, we're going to keep this in the family the whole time.
Yeah.
And then they pick all these champs and then they resort to stars before they even pick Anissa or
but
Devin.
But they still wound up picking Devin before either Booby or Arian. Someone that it's like, yes. Devin's not going to a better competitor right. than them. Obviously, you're picking for your friends, which right. is, again, we can. So,
it's a big,
I just
it's
think
a red card.
Well, in yeah. this, well, they showed their hand, and also in this tonight, they were like, now the numbers are even. It's gonna vacillate every week. You we can't do. Be like, now our strategy is back to chance.
I mean,
now it's
Wes,
the blue team.
Wes, is
yeah.
The thing is, he's just setting himself up for a fall.
It's really silly.
That's Wes. That's his, you know, that's how Wes works.
You have to respect the resilience in that fact that right, he'll just right. always go back to the manipulator, even if it's not, actually he always is smart though. I can't even say if it's
super,
not smart. It's just
super smart. Like I have nothing but respect for him, and I think. You know, I've gotten a lot of kind of tweets and things like that about me and Wes being this power couple.
Yeah.
And he's really enjoying that.
It's great.
I feel like it's
we
doing
love
him
it.
More, yeah. doing him more props on the streets than it is me.
Oh, definitely. definitely. I think, yeah. He's, you're.
Let's go back to this blue team being a bit of a mess right now.
Sure.
And the red team is, whether it's genuine or not, looks like they're working as a team and that they're friends with everybody. So we have Casper on your team that looks
yes.
like he's playing for himself.
Yes.
And then Hennessy ends up leaving.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to talk about from that fact. What did you think about Casper in the challenge and just the kind, the politics, the way that he's playing the game as his teammate?
I wasn't mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
At
really?
All. No, I was mad at Wes because Wes was the only player. Do you remember he was actually benched for this
yeah.
challenge?
Yeah.
He was coaching. So he was coaching. So he could see everything going on and how uh-huh. it was playing out. And if you remember, at the beginning of this episode, we see Wes say, "I've played this game before."
Right.
So if you've played this game before, Wes, then you know not to clip in.
Absolutely.
So where was the cue?
I agree. I think Casper got a bad rep. Your
sabotage.
Initial... Well, yes, because he said my whole thing is keeping Tony in. But everyone was so mad at Casper and saying, oh, he should have come back. I think when you're the first one to finish, it's your instinct. Drake almost did it. You don't know. I don't think he was being selfish. Of course he wanted to win. He wanted to be MVP. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. think he realized that you could go back and help and how valuable that would be. I am also not mad at him. I didn't think it was selfish. I thought he thought, great, I just won. Great.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, snap. And yes, I agree. Wes, having done it, we as challenge longtime viewers have seen this
mm-hmm.
a lot
a
of the
point.
Time. So
yeah.
if you get
good
to come
point.
Back.
Yeah. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, he should have said, don't, everybody, when you're done, put
don't
your thing beside it
yep.
and come back and help.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
Right.
I don't know if it was out and out sabotage or that they overlooked it as well. Because
yeah.
watching it just seemed like everyone's getting it together.
So it was a group choice as a blue team for him to clip in? You said first person clips in? Because that's
no,
what he made it sound like.
You know what? It was just never mentioned.
Oh.
We never talked about it.
Right.
And so from a person, from my perspective, if you've played that game before, then you're basically saying, guys,
you know
I've
what
played
you're
this
doing.
Before. Make sure you help each other.
Right.
Look
right.
how the red team were coaching each other through.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what they were doing. And we had one guy on the side watching.
Yeah.
You know,
you almost
to,
had
to take the time. We had an advantage.
A little bit.
Completely.
Even
but
though he was benched.
What you got, I think
mm-hmm.
what wasn't shown was the feeling that perhaps, you know, Tori and Anissa weren't trying very hard. And
oh,
so,
really?
This was going on behind the scenes. The stars in our team were questioning,
ooh.
Are these girls playing for us right now?
Wow, because that's not what the edit made it look like at all. The edit just made it look like those they were two knuckleheads.
Right.
They couldn't get it together. They were
right.
frustrated and struggling, which isn't, no offense, love you, Anissa, but not
right.
that hard to believe for Anissa.
Right.
What do you think would be their motivation in throwing it?
Getting the MVP. So making sure that the MVP, because obviously they can't guarantee, so if we throw the, if they throw the vote, it means the MVP goes to the red team. And
right.
because the reds are outnumbered, it means that the MVP on that team stays amongst the champs and
okay.
therefore they can protect them.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
How are you doing during this ribbon challenge? Because
I was clipped to Hennessy. It was free.
How was that?
Oh my God.
Was that funny or frustrating?
Literally one of the best things of
really?
My life.
Really?
Okay.
Oh my. So this is the thing about Henny. So I think when we were pairing up, I was just like, okay, because like you can see me, I'm scheming and I'm trying to do it. And
right.
I'm like,
step
control
ahead.
Three. And then it's like, you've been thrown Henny. I'm like, okay, all right, let's do this. We clip together and I'm like, right, Henny, so we're going to put our foot there. We're going to do this. We're basically big spoon, little spoon.
Uh-huh.
And I'm big spoon, you're little spoon. So you're going to go first and I'm going to come over. And we kind of, and I'm like, you got it? She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But she's doing something else. Uh-huh. I'm like, you got it, Henny? She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when the whistle goes, she just fell in.
Nice.
That girl was on fire. She was dragging my ass. Right.
Really?
Wow. To God. And I was like, yo, Henny's another type of animal. Mm. She's got both smarts, she's got character, wow, and she's got the athleticism. And that's the point where I'm like, this girl could go really, right, really far.
Because I was, well, two questions, because it's in strategy. The blue team, it's like Anissa and Tori were blue, were champs and champs, stars and stars. And the red team, which seemed to make their riding their high of the unity and why they might have fall for it, they did mix. Every team was mixed up.
Again.
So was that...
Wes's
when you guys pick Wes's fault.
Wes's fault.
Is Wes deserving?
Your fault, Wes. Always your fault.
Is Wes deserving of this?
Yeah.
That you're giving him right now? Is he deserving of the discredit right now? It's truly all his fault, though.
Oh, yeah. Wes, if you're watching, your fault, brother. Your fault.
Because why did he have so much power that it would be his fault? Why didn't more people, because he was the coach, why did he make all the rules?
He was coach. And so, you know, we were kind of like, okay, we're talking through the game, and he was very much the leader in that particular situation. Right. And what tends to happen when you go into these challenges is someone emerges as the leader. Mm-hmm. But because you're kind of hyped and you're ready to go in, mm-hmm, you don't really question. Mm-hmm. You have your own idea of how to do it, but you're kind of like, okay, this is the game plan. This is the strategy we're going in.
Yeah. It also seems like, it seems like from the edit, you were tasked with keeping Henny in line. Yeah. But from what you just said, it seems like you wanted, it seemed, again, from what we saw, like, gosh, maybe it's better, forget the numbers, to just get this girl out of here because she's such a loose cannon. But from what you're saying in the actual competition, she gets it together and it was a valuable contributor to the team.
Complete opposite. Obviously, okay, we wanted, like, I can't stress enough how much the stars wanted Henny in. Mm-hmm. For absolute entertainment value.
Yes.
Because, you know, although she did pop off tonight, she's wicked fun.
Yeah.
And she was keeping all of our spirits high. And there were just those Henny moments that we were just like, she's gone now. And it was just quiet. And I'm just like, where's our laughs and shits and giggles? Oh, you know what I mean?
Like, that's funny. Because we were saying it must take such an amazing amount of energy to always be as crazy and out there as Hennessy is. But it's interesting that you're bringing this up about her, that she really is such a fierce and smart competitor, because she kind of plays up this character. So then there has to be more to what happened to her on this show that we're not seeing, right? With her whole departure.
Yeah, I think it was, you know what? I wasn't actually in the room. So that's the first time that I'd seen that kind of back and forth with Devin.
Okay. You weren't in the room?
No, I wasn't in the room. Although
okay, because the whole fight happens because Hennessy is so late.
Yeah.
So you're not there yet either.
I can remember I was playing like, might have been shuffleboard or whatever, so I wasn't really paying too much attention. And I was like, all over. Everyone was kind of in and out.
Yeah.
One minute you're in the room, the next minute you're going to the bathroom. So one minute we're waiting for Henny, the next minute we're not. We're waiting for somebody else to come in.
That's insane. Because the storyline pegs it as, this is Hennessy's fault, we're waiting for Henny. So now everybody's allowed to kind of explode on her.
Exactly. And, I will say, that particular occasion, she was up in her room for a while.
Right.
And so, Devon's not just pulling it out of thin air.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was genuinely, I question the word genuinely, because I kind of felt like, and this is the thing, I said in my interview, I have got to keep a rein on Henny and keep my eye on her. Mm-hmm. And so I was almost like protective mother hen, and I'm pretty sure she was sick of me. just making sure that nobody got to her.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
And that's what we saw with Devon. And so when it came about, I wasn't surprised that that altercation and, arise, because I felt like they were trying to get a rise out of her. And an easy way to get rid of our numbers was to go after Henny. Because they knew that environment wasn't, as she said, her words, not bringing out the best in her.
Yeah. Right.
And it was very kind of stressful. One minute you're playing a game, the next minute it's the politics, and then, she's just not used to people telling her in a certain way what to do.
Right.
Yeah. Simple as that.
It seemed as though she was playing this entire game with a chip on her shoulder. She was very quick to hop to the
defense. I agree.
Defense.
Very defensive. Yeah.
But it's just crazy because it could go back and forth. There's probably half the fans who think, I'm glad she's gone. She was annoying. She was probably frustrating to work with as a teammate. But you're saying it actually wasn't like that at all.
Absolute
and her
opposite.
Buttons were pushed.
Yeah, see, I'm surprised.
And all of ours were.
Yeah.
And it's more a case of how how you kind of, how you put that out into the world. Like, I'm the type of person, I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to have to sit here for another hour and I'm starving hungry, but I'm going to get to bed eventually. And, you know, so there are stressors and this is a very stressful environment and there are long days and people just react differently. It's as simple as that.
And Devin is, I think his key skill in all of this is being a professional button pusher.
He's an agitator.
He's an agitator to the max. And she just lost it, which is unfortunate. I wish she was like, okay, but I'm not going to engage with
this. I wish she would have stayed. She was so much comic relief.
But what, if you remember in her...
Gonna miss her.
Yeah, in her kind of conversation with Devin, she was like, you could see her vulnerability. And she was like, yo, are you for real? Don't mess with me. Are you for real? Because, you know, those guys were getting on up until that point.
Right.
And so I felt like she was, you know, being turned on and kind of bullied.
Right.
And in front of everybody as well, there's a certain amount of embarrassment. It's like, dude, I thought we were cool. Like, you were cool like 5 minutes ago or an hour ago when we were playing that game or having a laugh, and now you're telling me I'm annoying? You're not going to do that to me. Like, who would, you know? And so I totally understand why she popped off.
I do too.
That's interesting because, you know, as I was telling Jen before, it seemed like such the opposite. And obviously, it's the editing and the way they tell the story. But I mean, to me too, I was like, wow, that's understandable why they would be so upset. But to hear the actual real side of it now, it's like, it makes more sense now.
Sure.
I think Devin took it further than, like, dude, it's annoying. You were half an hour late. You made us all wait for you. That's enough. Like, sorry, you know?
Well,
like,
then the argument kind of erupted because I, at first, when the episode went further along, I understood Hennessy's point of view, and she has been kind of that sacrificial lamb from the beginning on the blue team, so I could see that she's on the defense, she feels very used, and like she's easily being manipulated. But I thought at first it wasn't that wrong of him to say, hey, we've been waiting for you for 30 minutes.
He took it low, though. He took it low. The whole, like, you're annoying.
I thought he kind of approached it calm at first, but then it got louder and louder, and she ended up throwing, you know, breaking her sunglasses on his head.
If you kind of remember, we are, like, thrown together as a bunch of strangers.
Right.
And so that would be okay if that were your best friend saying that. Right. Because you'd be like, dude, check yourself. We've been waiting for you for 30 minutes.
Right.
But if a total stranger comes up to you in the street and is like, dude, check yourself. We've been waiting for you for 30 minutes. I'm sorry.
Who are you talking to?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. And can that be the end of it? Like,
exactly.
It's like he's relentless with his. That's where it got. At first, I felt like it could have been dropped. And that is why it's such a shame that drove her to leave.
Yeah.
Because she shouldn't have. I wish that. Did you guys know she was leaving prior to the Miz's announcement?
I mean, we knew once we got in there and the Miz had an announcement. Because Henny wasn't with us.
Right.
She wasn't on the bus. And so it was a question, is she going to go and let off steam? Is she coming back? And, you know, we just were waiting for confirmation that she'd gone. And that was, and we were doing our best to contact her and to be like, come on, like, don't let this be the way that you go out of this show. Don't let this be your story.
Yeah.
And so what does this mean for your team now? You lost a member, you lost a star, you're losing numbers, and now this firecracker, who actually surprisingly a really good competitor, is gone. Yeah. So what are you thinking after she leaves?
I mean, I'm feeling the loss. I'm feeling the loss of personality, I'm feeling the loss of numbers, and I feel like she's a wicked competitor. And so I was enjoying having her, you know, on the bus and just, you know, and kind of just driving that whole thing forward.
Yeah.
And
is it fair to say Hennessy was the closest you were with in that situation?
Your closest teammate?
Teammate, yes.
You know what? The person who I really gelled with and the person I continue to kind of catch up with,
I want to guess.
Go.
Booby.
No.
Hold on, wait. I want to guess. On your team?
Okay, let's all take a guess.
Of all.
Oh, okay, hold on. I am going to guess Little Mama.
You're right.
I knew it.
Come on,
she's level-headed. She's a good. It's the sort of nurturing.
Kind of similar.
Yeah. So this is cool, but she's not no fool. Like she's nobody's fool.
She ain't no fool.
Right. She's not. She's like the only one that was kind of hip to that they might be being bamboozled.
For real.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, like, cool. Instead of my day one, she's my day four. Because it took us like a little while to warm to know that we were like,
that's funny.
I'm not. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Okay. You're cool. I like you. You're real. Let's go.
And almost sometimes a day four is even better than a day one.
Absolutely.
You know?
Because
you have more of a respect level for each other because you've actually gotten past your original judgments.
Yeah, she's a grower, not a shower.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Can you relate?
So, no, I'm just Louise Hazel in the building tonight. Your claim to fame on Champs vs. Pros, as you mentioned earlier, was Lime Game.
Hey!
So we have a game that we want to play with you. It's called Louise's Lime Juice.
Excellent.
I have a bag with me, and it's full of limes. You should be very familiar with this situation. And on these limes, there's
names on them.
You have no time to prepare, okay? This is rapid fire in the moment. There's either a name or a question.
I love it.
So you answer the question truthfully.
Yeah.
And if it's a name, you have to air the dirt on this person truthfully.
Okay.
Whether it's a funny story, a problem you had, drama, whatever it is, you want to get into it.
And writing on limes, if you need assistance, if you're like, what is this question? We're here to help.
Okay, thank you, Pam, for bringing it up.
Translation, please.
These limes kind of look like maybe a serial killer wrote on them. It was very hard to write with Sharpie on
limes.
So, have at it. Let's play this game and see what you pull up.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Number one.
I hope it's a good one.
Shane.
Oh.
So, Shane, right, okay, where's the dirt? Obviously, we know Shane is a snake.
Uh-huh.
I was not sure about Shane whatsoever until he slid into my DMs on Twitter.
Ooh.
So, Shane came politicking.
Politicking.
Shane.
Yeah.
During the game, during taping?
Oh, yeah. He came politicking. Wow. So, he was politicking late in the game. He slid into my DMs on Twitter, and I was just like, I don't know whether to trust this one. After this move that he pulled in this series, I was just like, I'm not sure about this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Shane, he's a great character though.
Yes.
great character. And I really appreciate all of him, warts and all.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you. Dirty snake.
All right. Snakey
Snake. All right,
what else we got?
Sneaky snake. Okay.
Yeah. Shane is a lovable snake is what we got. On
Tony. Oh, oh hey.
That's got to be easy. Yes, that's got to be easy.
I want some Louise lime juice on Tony because we have had our own lime juice on Tony. Mm-hmm. And we can just say maybe not the best things are
what
said.
What do you want to know? I mean,
how you feel? What is your impression?
Deep down, Tony is a really good guy. And so you will see moments in the show where he's conflicted. Like when he's in this conversation with Wes about, oh, do we go back to Champs and Stars? He's conflicted because he went out there and he made that Captain America speech. And then he's like, I really want to be the good guy, but I'm just not.
Agreed.
But I'm just not.
Yeah.
Okay, question.
Oh.
Whose name did you put in the room?
Woo! Oh. The truth of Limegate. Here it is.
So to reiterate for maybe who didn't hear over Luis's excitement, we want to know whose name came out of that bag in Champs vs. Pros. Was it Lolo's? Was it actually Tia's or Candace's? Whose name was it?
It definitely wasn't Candace because she wasn't in there. So there was Lindsay, Lolo, or Tia.
You don't remember whose name you pulled?
It was Leah.
Oh!
What?
Oh, she's not gonna tell us.
The thing is, this is the question that I get asked the most on Twitter. And I always ask, who do you think it was? Who do you think it was?
I have no idea.
Might not have been Lolo.
I think it was 1,000% Lolo.
Okay. So this is what I think. This question and your answer to this question depends on who you are.
That's why I'm not answering.
Like, who do I think? It's not about who do I think was on the line. It's about who do I think Louise pulled out. But I feel like that's almost a projection.
I don't know. I think I'm thinking you decided to say Lolo for. I don't know if it's my projection or not.
I think you wanted it to be Lolo.
I do.
She's manipulating. Smart. Smart.
She's
too good at this.
Yes. Playing us.
Psychotherapist of her. Oh, Drake Bell. Okay.
Drake Bell. I have got nothing but love for Drake Bell. Now, Drake is a diva. I'm going to give him that. He gave me the best line from the show. We were doing the slip and slide, and this just will go down in history with me. He's like, what? You're giving us a non-absorbent terry cloth? It was the best. And like, but when like, you know, I'm in the shower, I'm like, can you pass me a towel, please, darling? And my mom's like, here. I'm like, What, you mean this non-absorbent terry cloth?
What am I? Like,
Padesh?
Yeah. Is that what he said it about?
He said it about a straight-up towel.
Oh, he is bad and bougie. Oh.
Such an actor, so L.A.
Such I love
a
him.
Child star. What a diva.
Grew up in it.
Look, do you know what I mean? This is Drake Bell. He does
funny,
not do non-absorbent terry
cloth. Only the best towels for Drake.
Exactly.
Now we know.
Only the bougiest of linens and towels for Mr. Bell, please.
I'm not mad at it.
What else we got? What else we got?
Castmate, you a date.
Oh,
do you know what? It would probably be Casper.
Oh, why not?
Okay, why?
Like, honestly, Casper obviously is the bombest dancer.
Oh.
And let's face it, when someone can move, it's just the most. Forget the fact that he's selfish. Forget the fact that he's probably not in my height range. It's all right though, Casper. You're all good, babes. He's just like, when he moves, it's just like, that's just attractive. Do you know what I mean? It's attractive.
It just hypnotizes you with his moves.
Yeah, there's guys, he's just got it. And he's super, super confident. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously, I'm, you know, sportswoman and you can, you know. And so I felt like he was a person that I could really kind of bat back and forth with.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's the whole issue of his cockiness or him being selfish. Is that something that you thought as well? Or...
See, this is the thing, and I think there's a difference. There's cockiness, and then there's confidence.
I agree, 100%. I agree with that.
I'm not sure which Casper is. You guys can decide for yourself.
You still don't know after 8 weeks of filming with him?
He's also good and smart.
Well,
so
this is the thing.
It backs up a lot of...
If he was crap, like, and was cocky, then he'd just be like, dude.
Like Devin.
You're over-egging it.
Right. He's delusional. I haven't seen Casper. At least we haven't seen. I haven't seen him strutting around. He's been saying, I'm going to win this. And then he does. But then he does. So it's like, is that obnoxious or is that calling it like it is?
I call that facts.
Yes. I
agree.
So this is AfterBuzz/match.com. Because we're just making couples. So Casper, you heard it here from Louise that she would date you. So go ahead, pick your
there
phone
it
up.
Is, man.
But you wouldn't last 5 minutes. So it's all good.
Yeah. She's challenging you. You have to take that challenge now.
Who's driving, you or Wes? Okay.
Who's driving that truck?
So Wes was like, I think he said something on Twitter, like, you hijacked my bus.
Uh-huh.
Wes, it was never your bus in the first place. It's as simple as that. Like, you know, it was never your bus, dude. Like, I turned up on this show. It may have been your bus in previous. This is not your bus.
Yep.
Like, you got a seat at times because we love you. And you're a cool dude.
Yep.
But this is not your bus.
Yep.
So the second you guys sat down to make this deal, you listened and you said, I'm going to use this to turn the tables on you.
Well, it was just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it was kind of fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think once they played the Arian Foster card and it didn't go the way that in which I expected it to go, I was like, okay, cool. Okay.
Right.
Gloves are off now.
Check.
Throw the gauntlet down. It's literally, you know, it's you versus I, it's do or die.
Right.
And that was very much, I love that kind of meeting of minds where it's like, I see you, I respect you, but you're going down.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, Wes.
Are we?
Feel free to answer back with that one. Luis is driving the truck. We got one more?
Two more.
What else we got? Probably serial killing. Okay.
Most rated.
Most overrated player and then most underrated player.
Okay.
So
Most underrated player, I would say, would be Drake Bell.
Okay.
Like I say, he's a sleeper. Shower, not a grower.
Right.
A grower, not a shower. Most overrated, I would say...
And this could be star, champ...
Who's overrated?
I feel like we need that Jeopardy music right now.
Yeah.
Listen, you're not filming the game right now, so it's not affecting your strategy. So you can just go ahead and...
Do you need a little bit of a cheat sheet?
Yeah. You gotta take a look at that.
Oh, No, got this.
Oh, you got it.
Cam.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So we came into the show, and it's like, killer Cam. And... In the opening scenes, and this is a little bit of insight for you, we had the stair down, so the slip and slide, the stair down. So we had to walk in at opposite ends of the beach in Santa Monica and line up against someone and stare them into the eye and just see what they were made of. I ended up with Cam. Now, I'm an Olympian, so I've stared into the eyes of the fiercest competitors in the world.
Yeah.
I saw nothing. And at that moment, I was just like, you're going home.
Oh, okay.
The confidence.
And the thing is, and I think you know, the difference is when you have stood there and you are at the Olympic Games,
uh-huh,
and you're, you know, you're sizing each other
you
up
size me
from
up
the
right
get-go.
Now? Yeah, I'm feeling it. There's probably nothing in my eyes, is there?
Oh, God, there's fire. There's fire. Yeah. So you can tell when it comes to the crunch who's backing down.
Really?
And so I made sure, you know how, you know, girls, you'll probably know about this one.
Yeah.
When your dad meets your boyfriend for the first time.
Mm.
And it's like that firm handshake, and it's just like... Oh, I see you.
A firm test your metal. Right. Test your metal.
With a baseball bat in the other arm.
That's like a man thing. That's like
a
respect, you know?
Yeah.
It's a chick
thing, too. And I was just
kind of
like, nah, I've got this one.
Yeah.
Wow, on one look, you had it.
Do you think
she... No, that's very true. That's very true. Even coming from like a fight background, like that's, they say you can literally defeat your opponent just without just staring in the eye. Seriously.
I think it might have been you. Like, she might have been able to like pull something on, you know, I don't know.
Yes.
Kayla,
yes.
But not maybe not you. It's a different level.
But I think
level
this
of...
meeting on the beach is so awkward. Did you guys meet each other beforehand, or that was really the first time
that
coming
was,
in
that
contact?
That was the first time.
Really?
And so
that's
that moment that, you know, we're locking eyes, it was like tense. It was like, okay. Everyone was sizing the other one up, and it was just like, and you kind of felt like the show was won and lost in that moment.
Wow. Nice.
Especially for some people. Like, you know, I think Cameron is an amazing player and an amazing competitor. Mm-hmm. And we talked after the show about training and this and that and how she can go into the next episode feeling stronger because mm-hmm. she had to go into that round with Brooke Hogan.
Which is difficult.
Which was never going to be
Brooke
easy.
Hogan, man.
Right.
She got a Hogan DNA.
Yeah.
If that would have been me, same thing would have happened.
Yeah. She got a hold.
That's
no,
right.
She did. Hold on, Pam.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got major respect for her because she's a real brave soldier.
Uh-huh.
And I'm confident that she'll keep coming back. And she'll just get stronger and stronger for this particular experience.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Well, great. Said. Very.
I think, do we have one more? I don't even remember
do.
What this last one is. We got one more lime.
I think it's a good one.
Look at all of the lime juice that has been spilled.
Who's the worst?
Just in general. That's
just
the question.
General.
Just
who is
the
worst?
Great ending one.
Yeah. So.
I forgot about all of these random questions.
Who is the worst? For a number of reasons. There's two people.
Who,
are going to hate this.
Yes. Say it.
CT.
Oh.
Because he gets a free ride. And this is the thing. People are too respectful of CT.
Yeah, you held
and
out.
And so he coasts all the way to the final every time.
Because he's the king.
Because he's the king and he's the alpha. Now, I love CT, but for that reason, we very rarely see him challenged. He'll just coast through, right? You're like, nah, don't
I'll accept
agree.
It. I don't hate that.
No, yeah,
I mean,
I could, fair enough.
No,
but
right.
in reality, and that's only when you're in there and you're having to compete and earn your stripes. That for me is like, everybody has that kind of bugbear where it's like,
right.
oh, you know, you didn't go into elimination. You're like, come on, everyone's not trying to go into elimination.
Right.
That's
right.
the game.
I think
avoid elimination and away you go.
He does now, lead with kind, he's a good leader.
Yeah.
And he's evolved, like I would compare what you're saying to a banana situation.
Completely.
But bananas is a baby and a brat. I still
yes.
think that plays
yes.
like a brat. Whereas
so,
CT has learned to
completely.
Diplomacy.
So right. this is the thing. I've come into this show obviously not knowing the background. And from what I see, and this is the beautiful thing about this show, every season I come on, I see more growth and more development. And CT is a person that continues to surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
And is actually, he's very, very sweet. Now, if we're talking about elimination, he's the worst. I want to see him go to elimination. If we're talking about who is the worst, like the snakiest, it's Shane. Easy
oh.
peasy.
Shane.
Yeah.
That's Shane.
Like, it's Shane. Like, in terms of, like, the dirtiest, tricky player, the person that you don't trust as far as you can throw them. Because
that
CT,
so
I would
funny.
Definitely want to work with.
Yeah.
Do
okay.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Shane
I'd wanna,
is just...
I'd
right.
want to coast on his coattails all the way to the final. But Shane is the person who it's just like, you never know whether he's going left,
just
right,
just definition
whatever.
Of the worst.
The worst.
That's
Shane.
Right.
Oh, thank you so much for playing.
That
and
was
thank
fun.
You so much
that
for
was
joining
fun.
Us today.
Yes.
Yes.
Sadly, we're out of time, but quickly I want to, you know, touch on your personal life a little bit. And you can
yes.
tell everybody about your new fitness program, Slay, and what
yes.
else you've got
yes.
going on. So take this moment and tell
yes.
us about that.
So if there are any women out there looking to get in shape, I launched the first series of my online platform, on-demand training, and it's called Slay. It's for the girls. It's sassy, it's sweaty, and it's every day for 30 days. And then I also have a podcast coming out called Slay Sunday.
Oh.
So think Oprah
oh,
Winfrey.
Yes, yeah.
Think like, you know, Soul Sunday, but okay. the less wholesome version.
But for fitness and health sort of thing, right?
Fitness, health, we're talking about all kinds of things. We've got Brooke Hogan on the show.
Oh, great.
We've got Jordan Wisely, Tori Deals coming
yes.
in this week.
Yeah.
Ruby Gibson. So we've got all of the challenge cast members
yeah, you
coming
do.
On. We're going to go in more depth. Mm-hmm. We're going to awesome. Talk about not just the challenge, but also about their lives. So we're going to be uncovering things that perhaps we didn't know about them.
We're getting the dirt,
nice.
Right?
That's
Can't
right.
Wait.
Yeah. We're going deep. We're
Where
going
do we
deep.
Find this?
So the training plan is online. It's at www.slaywithlulu.com. And that's also on my Instagram handle, which is at Louise Hazel. And awesome. Slay Sunday will be available on my website as well.
Okay.
And I'll,
nice.
I'll be tweeting and Instagramming it.
Okay. And where do we find just Louise Hazel?
At just Louise Hazel.
At Louise Hazel.
LOUISEHAZEL.
Nice.
They're going to get a lot of crazy stalkers.
I love the name of the two. Slay.
Slay. I love that. Kid, isn't it?
Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you all for joining us tonight. It has been our episode 3 of Champs for Stars MTV The Challenge Review tonight here on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Jenna Bussier. I'm on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier. Thank you so much, Louise, for coming on. We
My
loved
yes.
you.
Thank you.
So
me.
Nice to meet you. We're having you again. Slay all day with Louise and at Louise Hazel. And then we got Pamela and David. Where are you guys at?
I'm Pam Gross. You can find me at Pamela Gross, Jill, all over social media. Thank you for joining us.
David Ponger Christopher, as always, find me Instagram, David Ponger Christopher, Twitter, DPR Christopher. Thanks so much again, guys. See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.